Welcome back to the Christian Leaders Institute and our class, Reading and Writing for College Students. We are in Unit 4, The Process of Critical Thinking. In the last unit, we talked about interacting with the author's thoughts, that the author is really teaching us. They're the teacher that teaches us. And we're free to disagree or agree with those thoughts. But before we can really agree or disagree with the thoughts, we have to learn what this unit is talking about, how to be faithful with interacting with the author's thoughts. So, what are barriers that can keep us from being faithful to interacting or interacting faithfully with the author's thoughts? Well, some of these are preconceptions about what the author is going to say that can make us, distract us, and say, and make us look at what the author is saying from our point of view rather than the author's point of view. Other times there's prejudice as well. This person is a Muslim, so therefore what they're saying is wrong. Well, some of what they're saying may be wrong. For certain, there are things that we would not agree with as Christians, that they believe in the Quran. But they are also things that people from the Islamic world can say that are right. There are things they'll say that are wrong because we do not hold that, like they do, that Christ did not rise again from the dead. But there are things that they can say that are correct, especially as deals with this world. So we cannot write what they say off just because of the group they're associated with. And then there are presuppositions. Now, presuppositions are basically assumptions that we start from. If I am reading something from a book whose author does not believe in God, his presupposition or her presupposition is going to be completely different than my presupposition, where I believe that God is and that he has interacted with human beings. The conclusion of my arguments from what he writes or she writes will, of course, be different than their own conclusions. But that doesn't mean that what they write is not some validity to it. And so we have to be aware of our own presuppositions when we read, so we can read faithfully, as well as the author's presuppositions. We have to be aware of our own prejudices and preconceptions, as well as the author's preconceptions and prejudices. So what are these preconceptions and prejudices? What is up with them? Well, think of a piece of writing as a symphony. Think of it as all the different orchestra instruments combining their notes together to come up with this great sound that they could not produce individually. That is true when we're talking about writing and reading what's being written. So if we just narrow it down to piano, which we all know can make a song and keep up with the different notes, have the different harmonies, all the different the harmonies, the melodies, the intonations that are there that mix, are supposed to mix well together and make a beautiful piece of music. But if we hit a wrong note, or if the piano is broken or out of tune, it really makes it sound bad. It distracts us from what that symphony or that piano piece is supposed to be doing for our audio enjoyment. The same thing is true when we allow our preconceptions, our prejudices, and our presuppositions to distract us from what the author is trying to say, trying to teach us. Now, we don't have to agree oftentimes with what the author says. We maybe not, we maybe will. But We still need to read the text faithfully. We have to set ourselves out of the way and try to put our minds in the eyes and mindset and ears and walk and feet and hands of the author. So when we're reading, we need to hear the author's voice. We need to analyze the author's thoughts, his meanings, his reasoning, his logic, his in many different areas. Where is, don't let our prejudices, our presuppositions, our preconceptions cloud our ability to see clearly the point of view of the author, the assumptions or the presuppositions the author has, the implications of what the author is writing or the consequences, the concepts that the author is trying to set forth or ideas or theories, or the information. Don't let the fact that the author is some other group get in the way of information they're trying to present. We read a paper the other day in my class about from an Iranian group, from an Iranian journal. And it's very easy for us as Americans to say, oh, they're Iranians. They can't be saying anything good. Well, no. Actually, the data they were presenting was good data for the most part. And it was very informative. We need to listen and see the answers to their questions that they're giving, and the solutions to the problems that they're presenting, and the resolutions of the issues that they're setting forth. We need to see how the logic of the author's thoughts are all in this, and that they go through the writing from one thing to the other. Now, sometimes the thoughts are illogical, that's true, but for the most part, if something is written for public reading, it will be set forth in a logical manner, and there is a logic to it. And that doesn't matter whether we're talking about Socrates, whether we're talking about Moses, whether we're talking about the writers of modern textbooks, whether we're talking about Calvin or Luther. We need to try, some authors that we would disagree with. For instance, the people who are anti-Christian today that often put many things out to be anti-Christian. We still need to look at what they're saying. If we don't look at what they're saying, if we let our prejudices, our preconceptions, our presuppositions cloud what they're trying to tell us, how can we answer them correctly? When we're reading, we need to make sure that we are doing the complete reading. We're looking at the words. We're looking at the sentences. We're looking at the paragraphs. We're seeing how the sentences, paragraphs, and words fit together to make a thought. We're understanding the thought. We're incorporating that thought into our own minds. We're understanding the thought that's in each paragraph, chapter, and book. And then we are understanding the logic of how that thought came to be. And then we're looking into our own minds and saying, do I agree with that thought? How does it compare with my experience, my knowledge? How is there something new I can learn here? And is there a better way to think about this particular issue than what the author is doing? That is complete reading, complete thinking, and complete learning. Whatever we're reading, we need to do that. But that's especially true when it comes to reading the Word of God. And the world's problem is that they don't do a complete reading of the Bible. You know that when the apostles, after Christ arose from the dead, appeared before the Jewish Sanhedrin and were defending Christ, clearly the Sanhedrin leader said, the Jewish leader said, how can these unlearned men be so learned in the scripture that they could answer these supposed leaders of the Jewish world clearly, faithfully, and to the scripture? You know what, why it was? Because they had a complete reading of the Bible as taught to them by our Lord Jesus Christ directly. It was God teaching them what God's word meant. We have to be the same. When we read God's word, we have to read completely so that we don't become like the world. We have to see what the author, God, is saying. We have to think and understand the words of what he is saying. We have to go that extra mile to begin to incorporate that into our own thoughts. We have to take our own experiences and compare it to the Bible. And then we have to, and this is the only book that this is completely true of, if the Bible says it and my life doesn't conform to it, we have to conform that to what the Bible says in our own lives. We need to do complete reading of the Bible. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself, study the Word of God to show yourself approved to God, so that you are a worker of God that is not ashamed, because you correctly read or divide the word of truth. My friends, I hope that as you're reading the Bible, you are reading it with understanding. You are looking at what the words mean. You are looking at what the paragraphs mean. You are looking at what the chapters mean and what the books mean and what the whole Bible means together. And you're seeing the logic of God. You're seeing the understanding of God. You're seeing the love and holiness of God. And that in every step in your reading, it becomes a part of you. You can do the same thing with other books, but we have to be much, much more critical of those books, because they are not the perfect Word of God. But whatever you read, may you do it to completeness, and may you do it to the best and fullness of your abilities, as you even now begin to develop more abilities to critically think about and faithfully think about what you are reading. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Have a good break until the next class.